Greetings and God bless you, my friends and neighbors, and welcome to the Wow Factor, the word of wisdom designed to inspire, empower, and enlighten you in just a few short minutes at a time. My name is D.L. Wallace, and I am elated to be the host of this day's call, where our motto is simple: your soul will be blessed in 8 minutes or less. Our request is simple as well. Send this podcast to your coworkers, your neighbors, your loved ones, and friends so they can have some inspiration to make it through the course of their day. Let's jump right into our topic today, my friends, and that topic is simply the forever stamp. The forever stamp. The United States Postal Service has a product they sell called a forever stamp. You pay a little bit more for it than you pay for regular stamps. However, these stamps are supposed to last a lifetime. That means even if you pass them on to your children and your grandchildren and so forth and so on, they'll be able to put these stamps on any letter they send and they wouldn't have to pay any extra postage. Well, the forever stamp is not a concept that is created just by the post office. You see, God has a stamp that he places on us and a desire that we place stamps on others. Remember, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 and 30 that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. Then remember the forever stamp that we discover in Ephesians 1 and 13, that we discover we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Yes, my friends and neighbors, we've got a forever stamp on us, but we've got to also leave a stamp on everyone that we connect with, a lasting impression that they shall never forget. Can we begin with our stamp acronym, 5 Key Ways that you leave a lasting impression on everyone that you meet. The S in our stamp acronym reminds us of the importance of sacrifice. Yes, my friends and neighbors, nothing leaves a better impression than a sacrifice. You see, Boy Scouts have to help the elderly with their lawn and help them load groceries in their cars. They've got to make sacrifices and do good deeds that change the communities in which they live. By the same token, my friends and neighbors, we've also got some sacrifices that we make. Well, first of all, we discover in Psalms 27 and 6 that we've got a sacrifice of joy. Yes, my friends and neighbors, that we should always be joyful around everyone we meet. We discover in Hebrews 13 and 15, we've got a sacrifice of praise. How many people around you know that you've got a sacrifice of praise, that no matter what's going on, that you can still say thank you, Jesus, and raise your hand and give God the glory? In Psalms 107 and 22, we discover there is a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Yes, my friends and neighbors, just being thankful for everything that God does for us and has done for us, the path that he's laid out for us. Yes, my friends and neighbors, it's a reason to be thankful. Thankfulness or sacrifice requires separation, selflessness, and servitude. Yes, my friends and neighbors, separation from our own desires and selflessness to put the needs of others above our own, and servitude, a willingness to help those around us who might be in need. That T in our stamp acronym reminds us of the importance of teamwork. You don't typically hear about teamwork when you're talking about the religious and spiritual components, but it has a very major role. You see, we have to have a willingness to collaborate with others, an eagerness to communicate with others, an openness to consolidate with others. Remember the church in Acts, in the book of Acts? They had all things common. They exhibited teamwork. They sold all their possessions and turned them in and all lived together in one community. The deacons exercised teamwork because they made sure that the distribution of food was handled by them so that the apostles didn't have to worry about it. Yes, my friends and neighbors, there are some ways that we could be great team members. How would you rate your ability to be a great team member? What kind of team member are you? Remember in Galatians 6 and 1, we discover that if a man is overtaken in a fault, we which are spiritual should restore that person in the spirit of meekness. Then we discover in James 1 and 27 that we should visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Then we discover in Romans 15 and 1 that we that are strong should bear the infirmities of the weak. Yes, my friends and neighbors, we've got to work on this team. You see, God works with us and we must work with others and exhibit that teamwork that says, yes, we can together. That A in our stamp acronym reminds us of the importance of aptitude. Notice, I didn't say attitude, I said aptitude. aptitude is simply the art of knowing what you're doing. You see, mechanics have certifications. Doctors have licenses to practice medicine. CPAs must pass exams. And even professors have to have degrees. That's why the students follow their instructions. In this Christian life, we must also have aptitude. You see, the leader who possesses no aptitude can provide hype but no help. They can get you excited, but they cannot lead you where you want to go. You see, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 4:13 that we should give attendance to reading and exhortation and to doctrine. We discover in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we should study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that don't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Remember, the Bible says in Acts 17:11, there were some men in Thessalonica that spent all their time searching the scriptures daily. They received the Lord with a readiness of mind. Yes, my friends and neighbors, we've got to up our aptitude, read the scriptures, attend Bible study, understand the word of God. And that M in our stamp acronym reminds us of the importance of our message. Yes, my friends and neighbors, we have to examine what kind of message we have. Do you have a message of hope, achievement, and advancement? Or is your message one of gloom, doom, worry, fear, doubt, and anxiety? You see, people go to church because they want to hear a consistent and powerful message. The choir is great. They enjoy meeting all their friends when they go to church, but they go because they want to hear a message, and that message is one of structure and strategy, of substance and systems. Now, if you wonder what kind of message you can leave to somebody else, can I give you a few key pointers? I always say, start with you can, you are, I am, and I will. That's the four key elements. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13 that we can do all things through Christ that give us strength. So as we're witnessing to others, we have to let them know you can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. We also have to let them know that in Colossians 2:10, you are complete in him. Then we have to discuss the I am. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Can we say I will? Because the Bible lets us know in Hebrews 13:5 that Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Yes, my friends and neighbors, our message must leave a stamp, a lasting impression. Last but not least, it must be our purpose. That's the why behind the what. That's the owner's manual in the car that describes the purpose of every feature in the car. And with us, my friends, we must have purpose too. Remember, the Bible says in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You see, purpose inspires participation. It informs populations. It instills personification, because everyone wants to follow the pattern of the purpose-driven leader. Yes, my friends and neighbors, we can all leave a lasting stamp. That's all the time of yours I'm going to take today. Until we talk again on tomorrow, God bless you, God bless your families, and embrace the new and improving you.